This is Irish Illustrated's Instant Analysis, brought to you by the RVMH Hall of Fame, the Northern Indiana Event Center in Elkhart, Indiana. I'm Tim Priester with Drew Mentuck of Irish Illustrated. And, of course, we have John Bryce from Football Scoop. We spent a little bit of time with five Notre Dame representatives on offense. Mike Denbrock, we had Jeremiah Love. We also had Gerby Lambert on defensive side. Gabe Rubio stepped in for Donovan Heinisch, who had a class to attend. And then Jaden Osbury. Let's start with Denbrock, guys. Always entertaining. Most of the conversation, of course, was about C.J. Carr and their relationship, and he was asked about the whole Riley meets and how, you know, they blend their thoughts together. There's a board. He talks about the board. They look at that and see who likes what, and they put it all together. I thought there was some really interesting stuff about, Marcus Freeman mentioned this about C.J. Carr waving people off on sideline. He's waving off Mike Denbrock because Mike Denbrock is in his ear, and he's got it, coach. I got it. How do you put it? Get off the buzzer, idiot.
Yeah. He said it sounded like my son saying, dude, let me go. Dude. It was really entertaining from Mike Denbrock, a very relaxed Mike Denbrock. You can tell his confidence continues to grow in this offense. I asked him point blank about CJ being unflappable, and this was the first we'd visited with him since CJ played any games, but I wanted to ask him specifically about his first career touchdown pass, that crazy Houdini play to find Micah Gilbert early. And before I could finish the question, Mike Denbrock said, the whole time I was screaming, get it out. But he said, no, we see that. He said he is unflappable. We believed going in that he was unflappable, but you never know until the fire's hot. And he said, now we know. And he is exactly what we thought. He's really advanced. He said that he believes that this is an offense that, yes, is run first, but we can throw it over the top on you, and we're going to be able to be pretty good throwing it over the middle on you, and we're going to throw it underneath on you. You could tell Mike Denbrock stopped just short of saying there isn't much this offense can't do.
Yeah, and I talked to him. It was something that I had noted in the tail of the tape, the five-yard run that he had where it was drop eight. He rolled to his left. Riley Leonard would have panicked after a certain amount of time, but he knew he still had a clean pocket. He waited for it. When things broke down, he gave a ball fake. He ran for 5 yards. And Mike Denbrock said, yeah, that's absolutely a breakthrough for him. A little bit concerning the interception to Jadarian Price, the pass to Jadarian Price against Texas A&M, and then the forced pass late to Jaden Greathouse. Denbrock agrees that's a place where C.J. Carr has to, in his head, say abort and live for another play.
Yeah, I think, and those are good questions both by you, and I think we're really seeing the fact that CJ, it's probably helped him a lot early in his career that he is so confident, but now we're kind of seeing, okay, you need to be confident enough to say, hey, this play isn't going to work. I need to throw it away. This is the best play, because he has so much confidence that he can make any throw, any play in the field, and obviously we've seen that work out, but I think maybe a next step in his progression is to kind of start dialing that back. And Mike Denbrock also mentioned towards the end of the interview that he could see getting Kenny Minchie involved in the run game to kind of help out with some of that. And I think that's also a point where you've gotten C.J. Carr established. He's, you know, there's not this talk about, oh, we're going to go back to Kenny Minchie or anything like that. So I think now that that part is clear and C.J. Carr has clearly shown he's the guy, you can maybe start working in some of those other Kenny Minchie things.
We had an abbreviated amount of time with Jeremiah Love. He had other interview responsibilities, but really interesting stuff talking about the interplay between him and Jadarian Price, where they actually said, you know, we may be able to combine for 6 touchdowns here. And Price had 3 and Love had 2. Price wanted to give him a chance to come in and get his 3rd. But Love didn't have his helmet with him, so he let Price go ahead and get his 4th touchdown.
He initially joked, I was tired as hell. You just go ahead and handle it. He goes, no, the truth of the matter is I didn't have my helmet, so I couldn't go in. Then he was asked about how much he's lost his helmet this year and if he felt opponents were doing it on purpose. This was one of his more insightful answers, I felt like. He said, yes, they're doing everything they can to take me out of the game. They're trying to rip my helmet off. They're diving at my knees. Opponents are doing whatever they can to get me off the field. And he didn't say it with any braggadocio. He was just stating very factually that he has noticed he's a focal point and teams are trying to make him have to sit out plays.
Yeah. Of course, when a player loses his helmet, he has to go off the field, and he lost it how many times? 3 times against A&M?
3 times against A&M, and I think he lost it once at Miami as well.
Yeah. Drew, you were around Jaden Osbury. He was the first to come out. What'd you hear from him?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was a little bit coy with talking about the defense. I think John and I both asked him questions about just like, where is there the lack of clarity? Like they say, clarity equals velocity. Well, why isn't there? And he would just kind of say, well, we need to be better. So you can tell he's frustrated, but he's also not really willing to give anything away from us to us. But I think one of the more interesting things he said is he talked about Madden for ammo. I was like, were you surprised to see him in there in pass coverage? And he's like, no, I think I knew he was going to get his hand on a ball this game. I think he had three picks last week. So clearly he's been showing something, especially in pass coverage, that Osbury was willing to be like, we knew he would do this.
Jaden Osbury, snap for snap, is one of the most productive guys on the football field. So you see why he consistently gets in the game. Kirby Lambert is always interesting to talk to because he's a smart guy and he has a lot of interesting things to say.
And he talked about how much smarter he now is watching film because he has watched some games by himself. He's watched some games one-on-one with Emil Wagner, and he was asked, what was it like the first time you watched game film with Emil Wagner? And he said, it was gibberish at first. Now I understand. And so I think that gives you an idea of what the learning curve is when a guy is absolutely brilliant as Kirby Lambert, who was a civil engineering major and now an economics major, is telling you it was hard to watch film and completely understand until spending extra time with Kirby Lambert. He says he watched the Texas A&M film, I think he said, three times by himself and then watched it also with Kirby Lambert. He also praised the leadership and the impact of Ashton Craig and Billy Shrouth in his development as well.
Tim O'Malley asked him about, you know, bumping out the right tackle. And when you bump out the right tackle in that situation, you don't know whether you're going to, you know, be in there for five plays or 10 plays. Go ahead, jump in.
Yeah,
there,
I just wanted to add, he did. He played a snap at left tackle. He played some at right tackle, and he was asked about that by me, actually, if he had a preference. He goes, man, I'll play anywhere on the field they want me to play. Also, real interesting, he talked about he didn't start playing football until his sophomore year of high school, which I don't think we've probably spent enough time dwelling on that because he's starting at Notre Dame now. But anyway, didn't start playing football until he was a sophomore because his mom didn't want him to play. She said it was too violent. Now he said she's the biggest football fan in the world. She'll watch any NFL game, any game whatsoever, but said he was playing soccer and maybe basketball before that, and kind of thought he might be a soccer player, and his high school coach went down the hallway and said, you're way too big to be playing soccer. Let's come play football.
Drew, I don't know if you were around Lambert much, but I also got a kick out of, you know, he's talking about, and it was brought up to him, the 48-yard touchdown run by Jeremiah Love, which when I watched on film, it's like, how in the world is this guy scoring? And Lambert is amazed at it too. You know, everything's bodies are flying around. And he said, I mean, that could easily be a 5-yard run. And next thing you know, he's going down the sideline with a big play. What else do you have, Drew?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't around Lambert much, but going back to Osbury, I think just we talked a lot about he really talks to his brother a lot, who's playing at LSU for Brian Kelly right now. I tried to ask him, like, before he transferred from Auburn to LSU, did you have to give him any advice on Brian Kelly from your teammates? He kind of dodged that question a little bit too. So not a ton from him, but I think he was an overall just kind of entertaining interview and a guy willing to come speak for the defense and kind of show a lot of confidence in it, even despite their struggles so far.
Gabe Rubio, as I mentioned, a sub for Donovan Heinisch. And, you know, the challenge for that defensive front this week starts with Taylen Green, 6'6", 225, 230 pounds, 9 inches shorter than Marcel Reed, a different kind of animal to deal with. You know, but this is a guy that, like, what Rubio brought up was where they struggled a little bit with Ryan Brown from Purdue was running through the B gap. I don't think that's where Taylen Green wants to go. I think he wants to go around the edge. Were you around Rubio at all? Did you get an opportunity to talk to him? I mean, very, very thoughtful. And, you know, obviously they have to shut off every escape route they can with Taylen Green because he'll want to go. But I think the majority of his runs will be on the outside. And then that calls into play, you know, certain your linebackers and your DBs have to peel off and come up and make a play, so that'll be a challenge for the defensive line.
And we know that Arkansas is very cognizant of the Notre Dame linebackers, specifically Sam Pittman, talking in his press conference earlier this week about how much Bowen has impressed him and how much he believes Bowen can run sideline to sideline. But as Marcus Freeman said Monday, they have to keep their rush lanes, they have to keep their techniques. He doesn't want to spy full-time because then that takes somebody away from coverage, and it's also somebody not rushing the passer. So it'd be interesting to see how Notre Dame attacks that. But they've got to do a better job of pushing upfield and keeping their gaps and keeping their discipline.
That's it from outside Notre Dame Stadium. This has been Irish Illustrated's Instant Analysis, brought to you by the RVMH Hall of Fame and the Northern Indiana Event Center in Elkhart, Indiana.